I wanted to build some suspense. I also missed the record button the first time I pressed it, or tried to press it. The technical parts were ready. The human part of it was not.
Got it.
I need to do some more aim training, I guess.
Mm.
You know?
So I was joking with a friend. Or was I joking? Who was I joking with? About needing to go to a social media course at a local public library.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm wondering, like, do they have weird, like, computer calisthenics courses, you know?
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Like, flex your fingers for typing, literally do aim training on a mouse, or I guess these days on, like, a bad trackpad. That'd be interesting.
I wonder...
People need to play more point-and-click browser games like we did growing up.
Like, what's a good point-and-click browser game? I'm trying to think.
I guess it depends on whether we're talking about precision or speed. So, games that come to mind, like very simple games, are... I really enjoyed playing 8-Ball Pool online.
Hmm.
And depending on whether you have aim assist on, you know, that actually requires you to be pretty precise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that... what else would there be? I am sort of blanking on this because a lot of them are more like keyboard centric, where like you use your mouse to aim or whatever, but it's not really the primary thing that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. I was just curious if you had some real bangers to whip out.
This is the thing. I'm nervous to say any in particular. Aaron and I were talking about this a few days ago about browser games that we enjoyed. And I meant to go and see if I could find any of the ones that I used to play, whether they've been, if they've been rewritten to be able to be played without Flash, or if I can find some sort of like crummy Flash emulator. But I'm just, a lot of those games are just done for.
They're gone.
Yeah, and some are like almost like pre-Flash, were built on different technologies. So if you go to Addicting Games, there's still stuff that works. Like there's a lot of stuff still works. And I think the one that I was most excited about several years ago is, are you aware of Nitrome?
Nitrome?
Nitrome.
Or Nichrome.
Nitrome.
I am not aware.
Nitrome. So they are still an active, like, mostly web-based, to my knowledge, game producer, essentially. And they are known for a very specific kind of pixel-looking art style. And some of their games are super involved. Some of them are extremely simple, but they're all like, really good. They're all extremely well made. And several years ago, they started porting a lot of their games away from Flash. Like once Flash was dead in the water, they're like, cool, we have to start doing something else. So now they have web-based games that you can play that are ported to HTML5, which is like the new thing that you can, that is, you know, much more solid. And when I first looked, they, like years ago, they had like 5 of their games. I'm looking right now and they have, it's got to be over 30 that they've ported.
Oh, wow.
To HTML5. Apparently they do have some mobile, a lot of mobile games. Some that you can get for, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that you could play on your PC or Mac. They also have 3 that they've ported to Switch, which I'm really actually intrigued by to see if any of these are ones I would enjoy. But yeah, they were... Whenever I was looking for something different to play that was not as mindless as some others, Nitrome was like the place to go.
Mm-hmm.
I know this game I wanted to look up. It was a game called This Is the Only Level. And can I still play it? Oh my goodness. Could it be, Grant?
Mark's going to find his favorite game is still
published
alive.
2009. There's no way this is going to load. It works.
You just had to doubt yourself.
It works. Doubt the game,
I guess.
Wow.
Well, so tonight's just going to be a Grant episode as Mark goes and plays his favorite game.
The concept of This Is the Only Level is that there's only one level, and you have a little elephant. And it's like a platformer kind of game where it's like there's just one screen You start on the left, you have to jump to get to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you have to, like, you know, jump up a few platforms and all this sort of stuff to, like, get across to the other side. And every single level, there's something else you have to figure out that, like, will screw with you. So sometimes it may be, like, a button you have to press. It might be that a certain platform is just going to fall out from under you. I know. Wait, that there's...
every level?
So it's always the same looking level, but there's always something different that you don't know yet.
Oh, so there are different levels.
Yeah, but there's only one level.
Okay.
And I know there's at one point, there's, like, to pass the level, you have to, like, go back to the main menu of the game, and then the elephant shows up, and you have to, like, guide it somewhere else. like, it's just one of those, like, kind of older web games that just are very clever, very simple in a way, but really engaging and well done. Like, how did someone just make this randomly to play online, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just really cool. So, I'm a fan of it. And then you, your score is how many times you die, basically.
Mm.
Yeah. It so claims it's like that it's on golf. iOS. And it claims it's also just a Flash game, but yet it still runs on Armor Games.
I don't know. Maybe Flash is still alive and they just lied to us.
Could be. Anyway.
Got anything exciting going on?
That's a good question. We started our, like, bucket list exploration this weekend.
Oh?
I thought I'd mention this to you that we created a week or two ago.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, right? Our, like, bucket list of things we want to do.
Yeah, it took me about 10 seconds to understand this context, and yes, now I remember.
That's okay. So we got that started this weekend, and went to the Presidio, which is a former military outpost area that has lots of, like, housing and stuff that was at least previously for military families. But now it's, like, it's just one of the prettiest parts of the city. It's very calm there. There's lots of walking paths and stuff. It wasn't that nice out, so the thing that we went there to go do is randomly in the Presidio is the Walt Disney Family Museum.
I've never heard of this. Is this a museum of Walt Disney's family or a...
There's not a reason you would know about it. It's basically a Walt Disney Museum run, as far as I know, the organization is, like, run by his family or something.
Okay.
His descendants in some way, shape, or form.
So it's exactly not a museum full of families that have been imprisoned in this museum.
Luckily not. No. And if they were there, we escaped. We didn't see them. At least that's what I was supposed to tell you.
That's the official line.
So it is essentially the story of his life, which obviously largely involves the Walt Disney Corporation.
Surprise.
And all that sort of stuff. So it's, like, it's intertwined. Like, a lot of it is about him and his life, and there's little asides about, like, his family life and all this sort of stuff. But there's also, naturally, a lot of stuff about Disney and the journey of their animation in the 30s and the 40s and stuff, which was all really cool, because most of what I know is, like, so Aaron and I watched a really good documentary a few years ago on the creation of Disneyland and Disney World. And it's mostly focused on the quote unquote Imagineers. All the, like, you know, engineers who built everything for Disneyland and Disney World from scratch, just, you know, inventing new stuff as they needed it to make something cool. And that's a really good documentary, but that's most of what I know. Like, I didn't know any of the actual history behind the, like, Disney as an animation studio or Walt Disney as a person or anything. So it was the equivalent of, you know, we spent like 3 hours there. So it was kind of like reading a big picture book, you know, by strolling through a building. I guess that's kind of what most museums are. But since this one had such a specific focus, you know, it felt very coherent and easy to just sort of follow along.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was fun. That was a cool thing we did. Glad we did that.
Neat.
Yeah.
I haven't gone to any museum. It's been a long time since I've been to a museum.
I was going to ask you. It had been... I'm trying to think the last time I went to one, too. I don't know. Been a while for me. Well, actually, that's not true. I've been to science museums in the city. So I guess those.
I think it's been like 4.5 years for me.
Mm.
That's horrendous.
It was fun going. Like, it made me realize. I know I'm a museum person. I just don't, like, think of myself in that way. So I rarely go to museums. But I know I enjoy them. I still never go.
Yeah, I'm almost certain the last time I was to a museum was an art museum that you're aware of my visit to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's like, I mean, I don't actually, I should look into what all the different museums are around here. This one was an easy one because it was in an area we wanted to go to. And we had a friend who was also looking to go to this museum. So that worked out well. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's like an Air and Space Museum, which is always one of my favorite kinds to go to. There's one in, there was one in San Diego that I really liked. But yeah, I like them. Museums are good, kind of like libraries. Except libraries are actually free, but I understand why museums aren't most of the time.
That's I'm okay. What the heck do you mean by museums are like libraries?
That's a good question. I think of them in like a quiet, calm place to go. They to me they just have similar vibes. I can't really say why. Obviously what they actually offer is different, but yeah. They just like I just have a similar feeling about them both.
Okay.
I don't think I could explain it much more than that. Like, a museum, I guess, is an extremely specifically curated library where you can only get the information from there.
And you can't check out any books.
Exactly. Well, other than that, they're exactly the same.
The only books cost money, and they're from the gift shop, and they're
both,
not very
They're both
good.
Often in big, cool buildings. And sometimes they're not.
Yeah, if the AC breaks down, it's definitely not a cool building.
Got them. Either way, I do like museums. Maybe my brain was going to in this direction. They're both places that every time I go, I'm glad I went, and yet I almost never go.
Now I smell you're stepping in.
That's probably the real connection for me. Like, I have a library 4 blocks from me. I've only been in there once to get my library card when I moved here.
Nice.
Other than that, I've never stepped foot inside that library. And there's no reason, like... I should go there just once, just to, like, explore it, instead of going to, like, a Starbucks when I want to go work somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason I don't do that. I just don't, and it's dumb. Well, actually, the reason I don't is because they don't have the things that Starbucks has, which is, you know, okay coffee and okay pastries. But...
Yeah, they frown on you eating the books.
Yeah. Those aren't very flaky.
Yeah, they normally aren't sweet enough for me, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of can't believe thinking about it now. It's surprising to me that I haven't been to a library in years.
Right?
Being I so extensively used libraries in like high school. Like
yeah.
It was one of my like best places to go study or something.
Or I mean, I don't know what your situation was in college. I know that, you know, my university being much larger than yours, we had a wider selection of specifically libraries where one could go, I assume.
Yeah, we had like
spaces.
We had a library, but specifically because it was a library, like that's exactly why I didn't ever study. I never studied there.
Yeah.
I was only there when I was forced to be there pretty much.
Sure.
Because that's where everyone else studied. And so being the distractible little pumpkin that I was, that was not an option for me. Studying with human being with living creatures around? Nope, that's not going to work.
Hmm.
I need to study in a small room with white padded walls.
That is an intriguing image for you.
That's what I don't know. I don't got anything witty to say. I'm sorry. I don't have much wit tonight. I feel kind of like not witty. It really upsets me that that's kind of actually a funny thing that I said out loud.
I know.
When I just really gave up. It's yet another example of why kids never try. Failure's inevitable, just give up early.
Yep.
I've been settling on that as more of an important part of my life philosophy these days.
Yes, as we continue our campaign for mediocrity, hear our voice.
I thought you were going to go, like, Here Art Thou, or like, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou, or something? That's
That is a movie.
Okay. Is that the one with George Clooney?
Sure is.
In the Soggy Bottom Boys?
Yeah, I was talking about this with a few people the other day, and they had no idea what the heck I was talking about. I was so disappointed because it's such a good movie.
Last time I brought it up, I was also with people who had no idea what I was talking about, and I said the phrase "the soggy bottom boys," and they looked at me like I was insane.
Yeah,
and there was no changing their mind, and I felt really dumb.
Man, that's disappointing.
But then I looked it up, and it was real. It wasn't just a figment of my imagination. I was like, "You're uncultured swine. Now you should feel silly," and they didn't. I think they just still thought it was weird. But
yeah. Oh, Dapper Dan, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should go to a library. I will say I have this impression that wherever we move next, just likely going to be the East Coast. It's like there's got to be like a lot of libraries out there. You know, it just feels like cool old Library Central out on the East Coast.
Oh yeah, there's got to be a lot of libraries out there, guys.
But when you think of New England, you know,
that's the weirdest thing you've said in a while.
That's unlikely.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of libraries. Like, that's...
What?
It's just hilariously stupid and out of, like, brand thing for you to say, I feel like. That's the kind of dumb thing I would say. Like, oh, there's going to be a lot of libraries out there. Like, what does that even mean?
Maybe you just don't know me as well as you think you do.
That's fair. That's probably...
I mean that the vibe of New England, because it's, like, an older place... In general, you know, things have been around there for, you know, a lot longer than they have out here in San Francisco. And I just feel like there's going to be like more cool old stuff, which may also include cool old libraries and also just denser out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just the extent of my thoughts. I'm excited for the potential to maybe go to some cooler libraries that I have here, which... Obviously, I haven't been to many cool libraries here because I haven't been to many libraries here. But I also know that most of the libraries here are very, like, you know, modern. You know, they look like modern campus buildings, you know, like modern tech buildings in a way. Mm. Or they just look like boring concrete buildings. So I'm excited by the idea of going back to a library that looks more like a library that you would have on an old college campus, is what I mean.
Okay. So a library that looks...
It's got more wood in it instead of, like, tag board.
Mm-hmm. Wait, it's got more wood in it.
Like, you go to, like, an old library, and it's just got a bunch of, like, scuffed up solid wood tables everywhere, you know?
Oh, that's what you meant.
What do you think I meant?
I thought you were implying that, like, libraries are wooden buildings, typically, and I was like, I'm not aware of this stereotype.
The interior decoration, Grant.
Yeah.
Man.
But also, like, what do you mean by pegboards? You said pegboard, right?
I said tagboard.
Oh. Okay. I'm just dumb. I was like, I've definitely never seen, like, pegboard up in a library. That's weird. That's like a workshop thing. Not a library thing, Mark. Come on.
A tool library, if you will.
I want to go to a tool museum. That's the type of museum I want to go to. Tool museums... I have never actually been to one, officially, but I feel like they're really cool places because I love old tools because they're weird and dumb.
Okay, you can come visit me in Oroville, California.
Is there really one there?
Bolt's Antique Tool Museum, 4.8 stars on Google.
Ooh, it sounds good.
It does.
4.8 is a big number.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I will send this link to you.
I feel like if I became, like, massively wealthy and needed, like, some project to pour my wealth into, I feel like starting a hands-on tool museum would be kind of cool. Like, kind of like how, like, children's science museums are, like, have a lot of the interactive stuff. Some sort of way to have, like, a tool museum be, like, interactive, so, like, maybe it's not all old tools you can interact with, but it's like maybe like modern recreations of them that people can use in addition to like the displays of old tools.
Wait until it... Here's your pitch line right here, Grant.
You need a lot of staff, though, to make sure kids don't chop off their fingers.
Would, yes. Bolt's Antique Tool Museum is the only known museum of its kind in the world with a display of over 13,000 hand tools.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Discover antique tool displays representing those thought to be made by the Egyptians and the Roman Empire, tools representing the creation of 51 different railroads, antique gas pumps, and a surprisingly interesting barbed wire collection. Area A through... this is amazing. 8 categories. Area A, blacksmithing tools. Area B, railroad and farm tools. Area C, monkey and pipe wrenches. Area D, alligator wrenches and other tools.
Yeah, this is super sick.
Area E, odd and unusual sizes of tools that are pre-1928. Area F, detachable sockets. Area G, vehicle brand tools. And Area H, hubcap tools. Admission, $3.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
It's a little far for me, though.
Well, I'm sure, yeah.
Should I add it to the maybe on our bucket list?
I don't know if Aaron will be too thrilled about that.
Maybe I'll find a friend. It's somewhere between 2.5 and 3 hours away. That's very funny.
Oroville.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Downtown Oroville.
I love people who got a passion and just like go for it.
Yeah. You got this guy. We got our ball of twine. So much in the world.
Have you been to the ball of twine?
Of course I have. I did a day camp in Dassel, Kokato, back when I was a camp counselor. And we took a quick little trip over to, because it's in Dassel, right? I think we were in Kokato and we drove over to Dassel. Or no, it's not in either of those. It's in Darwin. That's right. But Darwin is like one town over from Dassel or whatever. So we took a little afternoon trip to there to see the ball of twine. And they also have a random museum attached to the ball of twine that had like old baseball stuff in it too.
Wait, really?
There's like a weird museum that has nothing to do with anything related to the ball of twine.
It's just there.
It's just like old random stuff. It's weird. But the ball of twine was there. Then we listened to the Weird Al song. I had a good time.
Wait, there's a Weird Al song about the ball of twine?
Yeah. It's called The Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota or something like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Wait, yeah. What?
It's just like one of his like rambling songs where they talk about taking a road trip to Minnesota to see the biggest ball of twine.
That's so... How did I not know? I know what I'm listening to after... Oh my gosh. Wait, what?
What?
Wait, Yankovic refers to the ball itself and thus his previous work in the video of White and Nerdy?
Hmm.
Oh, there's like... Apparently in that video, there's a Trivial Pursuit card that includes a question about the ball of twine.
That's funny.
I was like, wait, I didn't know any lyrics in that song that talk about the ball of twine. How have I sang the lyrics of that song and not noticed that? That explains it. It's not in the lyrics. It's in the video. I was aware that the ball of twine did make an appearance in the blockbuster movie Sharknado the Fourth Awakens, though.
You would know that.
Yes.
We all have our areas of expertise.
It crushes somebody, as the Wikipedia page just confirmed for me.
Okie doke. Well, while you listen to that song later, I will doodle for food. By Megan McKay. We have a young lad hanging out in a bubble bath. He's had quite the adventure in his bubble bath because he has suds atop his head. There is a little fishing boat looking thing, like a fishing boat or a tugboat, that kind of a thing, hanging out atop the bubbles, while in the boy's other hand, soaring up near his head, is a purple rocket. And the boy, eyes agleam, wide, ready for death and destruction, says, "Enemy ship spotted! Time to take 'em out!" And... we reveal that this rocket ship thing is actually a torpedo. He launches it across the surface of the tub as it breaks through the bubbles. He says, "Pew, pew, go torpedo, go!" And it strikes the ship with a massive boom. And the ship is now ablaze in an explosion, flames licking off the side, casting a pale orange glow across the surface of the tub. And we go back to the boy who was unprepared for the destruction that he was wreaking upon this ship as he kind of sinks down a little bit into the bubbles, tearing up, seeing what he has caused to happen.
Yes, death and destruction. Mm-hmm. Very sad.
I'm so excited for your pivot here, Grant.
Mark, what do you think about baths?
I, in theory, could appreciate a bath as like a chill time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, I think I'm well past any consideration of treating a bath as like a cleansing thing, you know? It's spiritually cleansing, but not physically cleansing.
I like the way you phrase that, because I agree with it that it can be spiritually cleansing, but it certainly doesn't feel as like physically cleansing, even though I know like deep down I know like it's actually probably fine physically cleansing. Like,
that's all
like, right. You're probably diluting all the dirtiness, unless you're like really dirty, good enough to be effectively worth it.
Yeah.
But like just the concept of like you're making a soup out of yourself, kind of.
Hmm.
All your filth. Like, what's different between making like stock and like taking a bath? Like, they're kind of the same thing.
Intent.
That's
a pretty big difference.
I don't know. I think maybe you and I make stock different. No,
probably like at least 50 degrees.
Okay, fair. Yeah, you don't normally take temps or baths at temps that are food safe. That's a very good point. But Mark, the real question I have for you.
Or 25 degrees for our European friends.
25 degrees?
Like in a difference of 25 degrees.
Between,
because there's like 2 Fahrenheit degrees for every Celsius degree. Technically 1.8, but I don't feel like dividing by that.
What, are you saying you take baths at 25 degrees Celsius? Because that's not true.
No, I'm saying the difference between...
Are you saying you take baths boiling, at 75 degrees Celsius?
The difference between boiling and not boiling... Like, and bath temperature in Fahrenheit is around 50 degrees. I'm just guessing, right?
Okay.
So the difference then also between boiling and not boiling, and like boiling and bath temperature in Celsius must be around 25 degrees, because Celsius is half as precise as Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
I don't, I'm looking it up before I say something too dumb. Yeah, nah, it's 50 degrees, dude. I'm going to hold this up.
What
at least 45.
Is 50 degrees?
The difference in Celsius temperature between burning and boiling.
Okay, so then clearly my number for Fahrenheit was really wrong too. You could have called me out on that. I didn't know. I don't even know what temperature bathwater is. I was just guessing.
I didn't know the Fahrenheit one, but I was like, not.
But that makes sense now that I'm actually thinking about it, because we did go to a place last year
and we had a hot tub
where we were like supposed to set the temperature, and like 100 degrees was actually really hot. So now that I think about that, it's like over 100 degrees difference between boiling and bath Fahrenheit, which means it's around 50 for Celsius. I had the right concept, just the wrong information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, those are big differences between you soup and you bath.
I don't know why, but that sounds very much like a new Apple product to me, like the iSoup or something.
We can't wait to see what you do with it.
They're going to hire me. I know it. They're going to come to me because I'm going to trademark this, but...
We've ditched the HomePod. We're all in on niche kitchen accessories.
Oh, I thought it was a niche bath accessory.
Oh.
iSoup. You make soup out of people.
It is a sous vide cooker meant for your bathtub.
Yes. Oh, that feels like it's like a gateway into the Matrix, though, I feel like. Like, I feel like the machines will use that to help like heat the pot or like set the, what, incubation pods or whatever at the right temperature.
Yeah. Probably.
But yeah, actually, no. So one thing I want to talk about...
Is the right temperature for incubation for a human?
I have no idea. Don't ask me that question. I think it's 98.5 degrees.
I don't think that's how that works, Grant.
What do you mean?
Because, like, a human, even if they're, like, mostly dormant like they are in the Matrix, they're still, like, working and stuff. They're still producing heat.
Oh, I was thinking, like, what temperature are babies at when they're, like...
No,
like,
if
when someone's pregnant, what temperature is their belly at?
Even then, I still think it's less than that.
Really? I thought that was your body temperature.
Well, but your body temperature is like It's not uniform throughout your entire body, is it?
I don't know. Now I'm starting to wonder, like, well, I wonder what
body
the, like,
temperature even measure.
I wonder what the temperature range, like, within the human, like, a like normal
Googling things
healthy
again.
Human body is like, what would be the coldest part of your body under like normal conditions? Like, it's like obviously not the skin, that doesn't count. Like, the warmest part of your, or coldest part of your, like, internal, I don't know. This isn't the rabbit hole I was meaning to go down. The rabbit hole I was meaning to go down was my fascination with the fact that, like, the difference between, like, comfortable warm temperatures and getting, like, scalded within 30 seconds is, like, frighteningly small numbers.
Yeah.
We're talking, like 5 degrees Celsius,
mm-hmm.
or, like, around 10 degrees Fahrenheit. It's just wild to me.
Well, if you think about it, it's really, like, 1 degree. Or you're saying specifically between comfort and now you're in trouble?
Yeah, between okay, like, okay. comfort that you can sustain for, like, essentially indefinitely.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh yeah, you're gonna get, like, as this article says, full thickness skin burns in under 30 seconds.
Hmm.
Like, it's just crazy
leathery.
Yeah. And it just, I don't know, it's what the heck. I hate and now I'm looking at scientific articles and I hate articles that have just like buzzwords in the title for no reason. But anyway, now here's the real segue, Mark, to the topic I actually wanted to talk about.
Oh, boy.
And that topic is Ginger Megs by Jason Chatfield.
What a punk.
Do you want to know what I was actually thinking before I did the segue?
Yeah.
Okay, I had no idea about this, but you know, like, old laptops, okay?
Okay.
And they got, like, little bits and bobs you can, like, you press on and something will pop out.
You have
and
you can,
like,
attention.
Pull it out. And so some of them are like tools.
Sure.
I came across one this past week that pulled out, and it was like a combination, like, letter opener, like, hole sizer, fillet gauge. And then on the back, I held it up to someone who was around me. I was like, this is dumb. This thermometer, there's no way this thermometer works. Because there's a little, like, picture of a thermometer on back with, like, Fahrenheit and Celsius temperatures on it. I was like, this is the stupidest thing ever. This isn't a thermometer. Why is this here? And they very plainly told me, Grant, that's not conversion. A thermometer. It's a converter.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Like, computers just came with that. Like, it's funny to me the way things have progressed, because, like, you would never think of doing that now, because the quicker way would be to just Google, like, use the computer.
Yeah, I don't think I actually know what you're talking. Like, I understand the concept of what you're saying. I'm not familiar with it, to be honest, but it is fascinating. It reminds me of when we would get, like, stickers of conversion charts to put on the inside of our graphing calculator cases.
Yeah.
That was always a good one.
Yeah, now you can't do that, because you'll cheat for a test, and then you're going to get sent to jail.
I still have my... Do you have a ruler nearby?
Yes, I do.
What kind of ruler is it? Because I've never really paid attention to mine, and I don't actually know where I got it from. Well, like, so I know it says on it. I just don't know why I have it.
I have multiple rulers. One of them is, like, a really crappy plastic, red plastic ruler that I definitely have had since, like, elementary school. It has I'm gonna be honest, the inch side of the ruler is not overly functional because there's enough chips taken out of it. That there's a lot of things that you can barely read where they are.
Sure.
But the metric side is completely functional, which is probably why I keep it around, because I haven't used a ruler for inches in a long time. So that's the one that's closest to me. I love metal rulers. I got one of them just, like, I don't know.
I should get a metal ruler.
2 feet further from, like, me than this one.
And add that to, like, my gift list.
That one's good. Gift. A good metal ruler.
Yeah.
One of the ones with cork on the back. I love them. I love them, love them, love them. It's so useful, so functional. And if there's anyone being naughty around, they're not going to be naughty for long. Just like Ginger Megs by Jason Chatfield. Am I okay with this now?
Sure, Grant.
So we've got two kids in this comic. We got a Ginger. I'm assuming that's Ginger Megs. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't understand this comic at all. And then we got a little little blonde jabroni with a big H on his shirt. Ginger is the... I'm going to just call him Ginger. Oh, no, I'm going to call him Gingy. And that'll make sense why in a second. Gingy's just kind of like slumping and like kind of walking away, looking back at Blondie. And Blondie says, "Hey, Gingy, want to go see a movie?" Gingy replies, "I don't have any pocket money," digging his hands deep in his pockets. And then he stops and turns back towards Blondie, and Blondie says, "That's okay. I can loan you some till you get yours." And then it cuts to a more distant shot of them, with them kind of in shadow, facing away from the reader. Blondie? Yeah, I think Blondie? Maybe I'm wrong. Gingy is saying, "Hookie, you're all the best bits of a mate with the added bonus bits of a bank." That was horrible.
So I read one of these. Well, the best thing is this is probably our first like non like United States based comic, as far as I know.
Oh,
this one is leaning very into the fact that it is probably from the UK or something.
I wish you'd told me this to start.
I know, but I knew it would be funnier if I didn't.
Oh, that's so hooky. That's the most Minnesotan way I could have said that. Hooky.
But in this week's episode of Nominal Comic Critiques, this author, Jason, uses far too much unnecessary emphasis on words throughout all of the dialogue.
It did make it hard for me to read.
What is the point of most of these? I don't know. But you did, I think you missed the little, I don't know if it's a moral on the second panel that the text is running vertically on the right-hand side.
I couldn't tell if that was like a water, like not a watermark, but like a, if it was a part of the comic or, because it didn't make sense with what else is going on. In the second panel, it says, like, if you can't be first, be next.
Yeah, and I'm looking around. I'm clicking through this guy's comics.
I don't understand.
And there's something like this in all of them, and they all seem to be very, very, very tangential to what's going on in the comic. So I'm a little confused by that. But yeah, so, Grant Ward, do you have pocket money? I know we've talked about this. Are you still a pocket money guy? Do you still got dollar bills floating around your wallets?
I don't know if I should talk about this. I feel like this is likely to get me mugged or something.
But no one knows where you live, so it's okay. I did bleep out your address last time.
That is, thank you. Did you actually...
I actually can't remember if I left in the very first part or if I think I did bleep all of it.
Okay, good.
Because I think that was what we had said would be funniest.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that. yeah, I am still a pocket money sort of guy.
That's good.
I certainly use not cash for more things than I used to, but I definitely still keep some on me because there's many situations where I like dramatically prefer to use it. Or vastly, maybe not dramatically. I prefer to use it a lot over alternatives, I guess, is how I should say that. Yeah, and I think maybe it's weird that I am like that still, but I think I will be for a while. But I've stopped keeping... I don't keep as much money under the soles of my shoes anymore.
I don't know if you're joking. I don't remember if I knew this, if you aren't joking. I'm really thrown off.
I'm not completely joking.
Okay.
It was something that I did a lot when I was like in high school and running a lot.
This does sound familiar.
Under the soles of all of my running shoes, I would keep like a $20 bill or something, or like $210. I would keep like around $20.
did you manage to keep them flat? Did you roll them up? Like, what did you do with them?
I folded them into like quarters or something. Hmm. Like in half and then in half again, and then you just pop it under the sole.
Seems uncomfortable.
It's a piece of paper. It like goes away. It to the point where I'm sure that I like pretty much almost literally threw away like close to $100 in my life by forgetting that I'd done this.
Yeah, that is a flaw in the system for sure.
Because I don't think I ever used it, but I always had it with me.
Just like in case blend. You like needed a quick hit on Culver's or something on a run, or
yeah, or like I was out on the long run and like needed like some emergency like Gatorade or like water, yeah, or something, and or like yeah, actually I think I probably used it once or something.
And were they like dry?
Oh, like I'm sure eventually they got gross, but then like. By the time I found them, they were all dry because I hadn't, like... But it's something I still now do, like, whenever I get rid of a pair of shoes, I make sure to double-check that I don't have money in them.
Huh.
It's like this grandma like, with her mattress, but, well, like...
I was going to say, this sounds like the sort of stories, like, Depression-era grandparents tell you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why their cups are always flipped upside down and stuff.
Oh my gosh, is that why I always put my cups in my cabinets upside down?
I mean, I remember learning that it, I don't know if it started because of the Dust Bowl, but it was definitely a common thing because of the Dust Bowl.
That makes so much sense. I just thought I did it because that's how you were supposed to do it.
I don't do it because we have so much crap that we need to stack everything, including some glasses.
Oh.
So we don't put them in upside down.
Oh, look at me. I'm Mark. I got so many cups.
This is the thing. I don't want as many as we have, but we have that many, so what can you do?
I will not comment on that statement.
Actually, now I'm second-guessing myself. Do we, like, stack them upside? I actually do feel like some of our cups we stack upside down.
I stack all my cups. Any cups that I stack upside down for sure.
Huh. Well, our plastic cups, we definitely don't stack them upside down, but I think our, like, short glasses that we got for our wedding, we might stack upside down. I think we do. Huh. I just realized that. But our taller glasses that match, we don't store upside down. We store right side up, but they don't get stacked. So we're all kinds of inconsistent over here.
Really threw me off. What it's like to live without a life philosophy, I guess. I don't know. That seems very, like you don't think anything matters or something. I don't know.
Sounds like a philosophy to me.
I'm sure that is a philosophy. I don't know. Don't ask me, I'm not a philosophizer.